Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Maybe you've been so caught up in the headlines about foreclosures and double dips on the housing crisis and the shadow inventory and all those other things we've been talking about when it comes to housing. But maybe you've missed a startling statistic, and that's the staggering number of homeowners who have now become landlords because they haven't been able to sell their homes. There's been a 10% increase in renters in the past 5 years. That's according to the Census Bureau. And there's a whole new world of problems because some of these new landlords are actually facing a threat of foreclosure and financial instability. So how do these issues trickle down to renters, and what are your rights? Here, as always, to tell us the lowdown, Takeaway Work and Personal Finance contributor Beth Kobliner. And also with us, Mike Vraw, who's a managing attorney at Homeline, which is a nonprofit Minnesota statewide tenant advocacy organization. And Mike, I got to say, I guess our producers got an amazing statistic out of you, which is you've said that the calls from tenants who have landlords facing foreclosure have gone from zero to 1,200 over the past 3 years or so.
Well, it's not actually zero. I looked at the actual number yesterday after speaking to your producer. 2003, we took 16 calls from tenants that had foreclosure issues with landlords. Last year, it was 1,266.
Wow, that is incredible. And Beth, this is a reflection of the changing picture, the changing landscape of housing.
Right. Well, we know about all foreclosing that has been going on, and there hasn't been much written, though, about how that does impact on the renter. If your landlord forecloses on your home, what are your rights? People don't know. And it can get very tricky because there have been new rules put into place last year. In May of 2009, President Obama signed the Protecting Tenants at Foreclosure Act, which basically makes the worst-case scenario, if your landlord defaults or forecloses, you still get to stay there for 3 months. But there's a lot of confusion on what your rights are as a tenant and as a new landlord, what you're supposed to be doing.
But Mike, part of the problem here is that landlord-tenant laws vary from state to state.
Absolutely. The national law very rarely matters. In fact, the foreclosure law has changed in Minnesota 3 times in the last 4 years, either the state or the federal version.
So, I mean, Beth, it could be that you're living in a property and you don't actually know that the homeowner is defaulting.
Right. And in some states, like Arizona or Oregon, they have, with small landlords, if a landlord has fewer than five units, they must tell you before you sign your lease what their problems are. Are they about to foreclose? Are they in default? But in most places, you have no idea. You find a place you love. You fall in love with it. You think, oh, it's, you know, good deal. And you rent it without really knowing what the underlying problems might be and what that's going to mean for you down the road.
So, Mike, you're taking calls from people who are renting. They probably have an entire family living somewhere. And suddenly they call you desperate and panicked because the home they're living in, the apartment they're living in, is being foreclosed on. What do you tell them to do?
Well, it really is a state-specific thing. And in Minnesota, they probably have 9 months from when they find out. The 3 months gets tacked on to a state law that usually provides 6 months. But the interesting thing about these callers is they've almost never done anything wrong.
They've paid their rent.
Right. As compared to almost every other actor in the foreclosure world, they've got some blame. The bank, the owner, the renter hasn't done anything wrong.
You know, Mike, here's what just blows me away about all of this. And Beth, you know, chime in if you like. When you close on a house, there's always this, like, title insurance dude in the closing. There
right.
is such an obsession, a crazy obsession with making sure the title
right.
is okay.
It's been a nightmare for people
right.
who want to refinance
exactly.
now. Title insurance, right?
But for the tenant, knowing what's actually going on behind the scenes, there's no information whatsoever, Mike?
Not really. I mean, I suppose the tenant can actually ask the direct question, you know, are you up on your payments with the bank or not? And if the landlord lies about that, I suppose they've got a claim against the landlords for some sort of fraud or deceptive trade practice. But then
that's a good recommendation. Would you recommend doing that and noting it down?
There's no harm in doing it.
Yeah.
There's no harm in doing it.
Yeah, and they say whatever situation you're having with the landlord, you know, even if you have a verbal conversation, write it down, take notes, send him an email saying, this is what we agreed upon, X, Y, and Z. I understand this is the problem. So at least you have it in writing, some sort of
evidence. Is email an accepted legal communication?
Typically, yes, it is. It's seen as a valid form of communication, as long as the other side agrees to it, I suppose.
Well, you know, I mean, I see myself as kind of an example of how the housing picture has really affected people's lives, because I'm renting in New Jersey, but I'm a landlord in Michigan where somebody's renting my home, and keeping track of these laws is it's really difficult.
You know, these things, security deposits, you have to know your rights. What happens if you think your landlord suddenly he won't give you back your security deposit,
right?
You know.
Or if they're in financial trouble, what if they took and spent your security deposit?
Which is something that does happen.
Now, you're making your renter nervous, Celeste. I think if they're listening on the show, you're not about to default.
No, I'm totally fine. But I worry as a renter. I worry about this. It makes me nervous because I have no way of knowing whether the mortgage is being paid on my unit or not.
Right. I mean, one great resource that I have, always going back to sort of what people can take away, is this online noload.com, NOLO.com, which has great free information on renters' rights and tenants' rights. And also you could try HUD.gov. They have good information. And your local legal aid society, if you earn under, in certain places in New Jersey, I know it's under $50,000 to get information. And the State Attorney General's office. There actually are a lot of people out there, and there are a lot of ways to get good free information, but you have to dig.
Well, but Mike, is this just another? I mean, it seems like we're coming up with all these ways in which our laws are outdated and need to be updated. Is this one of them? Do we need a national policy on landlord and tenant law?
Boy, that'd be a sweeping change. Like,
yeah.
I said, there's only two areas that I can think of, discrimination and now foreclosures, where the federal law really is the most important law when it comes to landlord-tenant. So that'd be a real big change, for sure.
But you don't think that we need some kind of maybe adding on to that foreclosure law, something about disclosure, so tenants know if they're in danger?
I think that would make sense, absolutely.
Beth, what do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, you don't know what you're getting into. Often, if it's your first place to rent, young people have really no idea what they're getting into. But the basics of having a document that discloses what the problems are of the underlining, you know, landlord, that would be a great thing. But if you don't get that, you really have to ask. You really have to push and see what are... the financials of this building, how long you've been renting, and try to get a feel for it.
Because in the end, as I understand, you have to pay for the move. All of those expenses that are incurred when you lose your rental property are your own.
Which can be massive, as we all know.
Beth Koblenner, Takeaway Work and Personal Finance Contributor. We also spoke with Mike Vrah, Managing Attorney at Homeline, which is a nonprofit tenant advocacy organization in Minnesota. If you are a renter and you've got your own story, maybe you're a landlord, give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
I think Mike and Beth should run for Congress on the tenants' rights ticket. I think that'd
there
be
we
great.
Go.
Yeah, there you go. Keep the conversation going on It Gets Better, the video project begun by sex advice columnist Dan Savage. Do you have a message for teens? Eileen from Olympia, Washington writes us, confrontation gets easier. It's less scary. The ground you're standing on isn't as shaky. You're better able to pick your battles. Honestly, it gets easier. And from Bayside, New York, a listener says, you'll reach a point in your young adult life at which you'll realize that you really don't care what most people think about you. And at that point, it will only be the concerns of those who love you most. Keep that in mind, won't you? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.